This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis. Playing hurt today, but playing through because he's a pro. Back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, I wish the Buccaneers were as tough as you. They could have played to the finish line yesterday. They did not. 29-28, what a comeback for the ATL. Down 14 midway through the fourth quarter. And despite 19 penalties by the Falcons, my goodness, somehow, someway, Raheem Morris and company get the victory. Big time setback for the Buccaneers. They wake up today 7-7 and a half game behind the Panthers, who play the Saints coming up on Sunday on the road down there in New Orleans. They might be a full game back if the Panthers can take care of business on the road. Jensen, this has got to be as demoralizing a loss as you can have this late in the year.
Yeah, Buccaneers 124-1 entering last night, including the playoffs since 1991, when leading by 14 or more points in the fourth quarter. You got to go all the way back to that lone loss before last night, 2003, October 6th, against the Peyton Manning-led Colts. And to add a little salt to the wound, Atlanta was winless in their last 139 games, including the postseason, when they trailed by 14 or more points in the fourth quarter. Go all the way back to December 11th, 30-plus years ago, in 1993 against the Niners, the last time they were able to come back and win from that deficit.
You want to bet on the Buccaneers now to win the division? -$1.30. Last night it was -$3, so yesterday's price is not today's price. That is for sure. We heard, go back wherever you listen to your podcast, take a look and listen earlier in the program. It was interesting comments from Joe Burrow, to say the least. And Jensen, paraphrasing, he said he's got to find the love for football if he's going to keep doing this. And I think you can relate as a professional athlete. I think what he was getting at is all these rehabs and that he's not having as much fun. And I wonder if there is a cause for concern that Joe Burrow, if he's not in it mentally, what does this mean for the future? Not just this year, but the long-term future of Burrow in Cincinnati.
Well, and I'm sure the years of getting hit, knocked down, and just the lack of a great offensive line has really weighed on him. This is a game, though, that you and I looked at. This is the season for the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. So if they don't win this one, is this the last we see of Joe Burrow in a Bengals uniform? That is not out of the realm of possibility after those comments and kind of where the future of the Bengals franchise is here moving forward.
Yeah, it's one of our millions plays that we have. So we need Joe to kind of let's pump up the volume a little bit. Let's hope that he's feeling better by Sunday here, +2.5 for the Bengals against the boys from Charm City. Very scary situation yesterday for T.J. Watt, and he underwent a medical evaluation of his lung, had to be taken to the hospital after experiencing discomfort, and this was at the practice facility. So they've got a big game coming up Monday night, the 3-point favorites here against the Fish, against the Dolphins here at home. And Jensen, when you hear that, again, we're not doctors, we're not going to tell anybody what they should do, but that seems like quite the quick turn to get him out of the hospital and your most important defensive player to be out there for a critical game come Monday night.
Yeah, I was listening to Follow the Money yesterday afternoon, and Mitch and Paulie kind of brought it up. T.J. Watt, one of those non-quarterbacks that is worth, you know, some points to the spread, and that line has come down. It was 3.5 yesterday. It's 3 this morning. But listen, check the thermometer. If it's 40 degrees or lower, Miami coming north with Tua Tagovailoa, it's just been an absolute wrecking ball to their chances to win. So a T.J. Watt less Steeler defense still may be good enough with the elements to be able to get this one across the line.
And speaking of Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money yesterday, this is a bizarre, bizarre ATS trend. And we want to hear it from Mitch. And this is because, of course, the Dolphins played the Jets last week. And now playing that Steeler game on Monday night, let's hear from Mitch about that bizarre, wild ATS number.
Teams who played the Jets this year, the following week, they are 1-11 ATS. The only cover was week 11, the Browns +7.5 against the Ravens, and they lost by 7. The Dolphins beat up the Jets last week, and now they get Pittsburgh on Monday night. You bet Steelers early money line. Here at Circa, they're laying 3 -115. How weird is that?
That is the most bizarre stat of the year. It makes no sense.
Always love hearing Mitch and Paul. Check them out weekdays here on the network for your afternoon drive. Fantastic number. I mean, as Paulie said there at the end, it is a just bizarre stat to see that here, but it is in fact. 1-11 ATS after playing the Jets. I really want the Dolphins to win this game, but that trend is going against what I'd like to see happen on Monday night. Big news for the Braves. And again, you know, I've still got Mets melancholy here. If you lose the big three here, and all of a sudden you look at your rivals and you kind of forget about the Braves because they were so down last year. It's all about the Phillies re-signing Kyle Schwarber. They get Robert Suarez, 3-year, $45 million contract coming over from the Padres where he led the league in saves. And Jensen, he's going to be a setup guy in Atlanta. Should I be worried about what the Braves are doing down there in the ATL?
No, I mean, the Braves have to, you know, really stock the shed on the pitching side. Remember all the injuries they've had to deal with, not only in the rotation, but the bullpen. They have been sort of the walking wounded the last handful of years. It's a great signing. One that was not expected. Was texting with CJ Nikowski. He does a great job on the TV side on FanDuel Sports Network South there in the Braves broadcast booth. And again, you're looking for health from that rotation, looking for health from the back of the bullpen. They're 16-1 right now to win the World Series. Thought they would get a resurgence last year, Dave. It wasn't there because the injuries. Might be a team to look forward to in the futures market early here in 2026.
9-1 to win the pennant. And the Padres, by the way, are 10-1. Those are the fourth and fifth betting choices right now in the National League. I'm sorry. As much as I dislike them, I would have to look at the Braves before I looked at the Padres right now for almost identical numbers. 9-1 on the Braves, 10-1 on the Fathers out there in San Diego. If you're not betting the NFL or maybe you're betting UFC and you want to bet the ponies, we have you covered each and every week right here on the network. And that's with our guys at VSiN at the Track. Let's hear from Mike Somich and give you a preview of what you might be able to get down on this weekend.
Talked about horses at Gulfstream Park that are speed horses on the synthetic that then switch over to the turf, and how hard it is to win forwardly placed on synthetic and how hard it is to close on the turf. Well, this is a horse that was winning well forwardly placed on the synthetic, and now we are switching over to a turf course where I think the tactical ability of this horse is really going to be benefited by going over to the turf. Has run on the Gulfstream Park turf 6 times, 2 wins, 1 second, 1 third in those 6 efforts. Has been running on the synthetic consistently the last 10 races of the career. Now we get back to turf.
I mean, it's like a foreign language to me, and that's what I love about VSiN is, Aaron Halterman and Mike, they do an amazing job. I don't need to know it because they know it, and they're going to tell you what you need to know before you bet it. So, again, check out VSiN at the Track with Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman, an audio and video podcast from VSiN and brought to you by First Bet, available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Those guys do amazing work each and every week. Also, shout out to my guy, Rob Moreno. He does an amazing job with me each and every week on First Strike. It is the official MMA podcast that we have here in the network. And Robin had a great conversation this week. Again, check this out before you make your bets. It's the last UFC card of the year. I'll give you up my official place here at the end of the program. But we're talking about the main event, and you know how much of an affinity I have for Brandon Royval, the Raw Dog, who's a big-time underdog in this bout against Manel Cop. And Cop does feel like a guy that believes that he might be in line for a title shot after what we just saw last weekend at 323. Here's Rob and I breaking down the main event Saturday night.
I know Manel Cop fancies him to be the champ in waiting. He's got all the requisite skills to do it. And I know he's got one punch knockout power, which is rare in this division. But should he be a $3 betting favorite?
If we're just seeing a striking fight, Royval likes to bring the chaos in. Can he avoid enough damage to knock it? One punch knocked out. Manel Cop, his last recent TKOs were in the third round. They happened later in fights. His last first round TKO was when he was facing much lesser competition. Since then, it's either been 3 decisions or 2 knockouts in the third round. So I lean to believe that Royval's toughness can push this past, first of all, the 3.5 that we talked about also. The model does give him, Manel Cop, a 72% win probability. There's not really a ton of value. Even when I looked yesterday at his odds at minus 285, knockout prop is obviously the way the market kind of leans with, you know, it's got him around plus 130, I saw. But the decision, I think Royval can last. I think it's going to be a back and forth. We may see a similar fight to what we saw with Joshua Van, but Manel's just you know, he's a little bit cleaner with the strikes. He's going to avoid heavy damage. He's not going to breathe into the chaos too much. And it may go back and forth, but I think the over's totally in play. But I like Manel Kopp by decision as well.
Over 3.5, by the way. You can get that at some plus money. Check it out. It is our betting show here, UFC betting show, First Strike. New episodes each and every Wednesday with me, Rob Moreno. I had Kyle Anthony on the program this weekend. Great to have Kyle on the program as well. So wherever you get your podcast, check out that listen. It is spectacular, if I may say so myself. Two devastatingly handsome gentlemen, as you just saw there with Rob Moreno on your screen. So give it a listen wherever you get your podcast. And Jensen, I know we're homers and we're company men, but this is why we love the network so much. You want horse racing? You want UFC? You want MMA? You want football? You whatever you want, we've got you covered here at the network, and that's why it's imperative that you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can have access to all of these data points in every sport going here each and every day, not just NFL. We're going to have you covered pillar to post right here on the network. Speaking of football, we're going to come back and catch up with one of the best minds in football in what we do, and that's Warren Sharp. He's going to join the program next. Jensen, I love getting in on Warren's props. Like I said, I'm going to follow, say, a Mike Somich and an Aaron Halterman when it comes to the races. When it comes to props, I'm going to follow Warren Sharp, and he's going to join the program next. And again, I'm still disappointed in the Buccaneer loss yesterday. I'm trying to get over it, and I think Warren might have some winners for us to get over our first loss here to begin week number 15 on the million side.
Yeah, I hope so. And prop of the week, it has been the gift that keeps on giving. Early stocking stuffers coming up here in this next segment.
You do not want to miss it. Warren Sharp joins the program next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Going to get to our college football previews and NFL red alerts coming up a little bit later on in this very hour. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you, but love our conversations on Friday with Warren Sharp. He is an NFL analyst at sharpfootballanalysis.com. You can give him a follow on X at Sharp Football, as we do, appears with us each and every Friday. Can be seen across the network here on Sunday mornings on the Pro Football Tailgate Show and Countdown to Kickoff. Joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. And Warren, you get a great deal for VSiN listeners this week. Right now, they can get the final 4 weeks of what you offer, NFL betting recommendations, for the price of 1 week. That's a 75% discount. I'm not even a mathematician, Warren. I figured that out. So go to sharp.football, click the top link, and use the code FINAL4 on the rest of the season package to join today. That is a really good deal, and you've been red hot with your props. I got to ask you, though, last night, we were talking a little bit before we came on here. Can you believe that comeback by the Falcons last night?
No, I mean, look, they gave away almost 50% in EPA just on those penalties alone. 125 penalty yards against the Atlanta Falcons, only 25 penalty yards against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And to blow a game like that for the Bucs that they needed to have, I mean, what more can you say? That was an embarrassing performance. Obviously, Todd Bowles laid into the team afterwards with that expletive-laced tirade in the locker – well, not in the locker room publicly. Who knows what he was saying in the locker room. But look, the Atlanta Falcons came out there with nothing to lose. And I will tell you this, Kirk Cousins would earn himself another eight-figure guaranteed contract at minimum for next year if he could do nothing but simply play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers every single week. Listen to these stats that Kirk Cousins has. Over the last 2 years combined, when he plays the Bucs, he's averaging 9 yards attempt. When he plays everybody else, 7.3. When he plays the Bucs, he's 3-0. Against everybody else, he's 6-10. When he plays the Bucs, 11 touchdowns to 1 interception. Everybody else, 13 touchdowns to 16 interceptions. And when he plays the Bucs, 386 yards per game. When he plays everybody else, 198. Doesn't even hit 200 yards per game. So Kirk Cousins, this is the defense. He chews up Todd Bowles' defense. It's a good matchup for Kirk Cousins. But how do you blow that game when the refs are certainly giving you every opportunity to be in the right position there to win it, to ice it out? And this is the first game, I'm sure part of the handicap that you guys had, the first game that the Bucks had everybody up. You've got Emeka Buka, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, who's the fourth guy? Jalen McMillan. Bucky Irving is there. You got Tristan Wirfs, your left tackle. Like, everybody is there. And this is I don't know, Todd Bowles is saying it's on the players. I think it's on everybody there. Very problematic.
Warren, you just gave me a little flashback to my dominance against the Seattle Mariners. That's my Kirk Cousins team that you put me against the M's. It is pretty much scoreless innings all the way around. We would expect a lot of scoring, though, in this Lions and Rams game, one of the great ones of the late window. That's where I think we find your potential prop of the week, yes?
Yes, sir. Prop of the week is on Matthew Stafford. This is very simple. A lot of times I'm doing the more derivative markets or the markets that are a little bit less obvious. This one is just top of the mind. Matthew Stafford passing yards over 277.5. You can find out there this morning. I'm looking at some screens. Some books are up to the low 280s. There's 277 easily accessible if you just look around a little bit for it. Matthew Stafford has played over the last 2 years. Well, this is the third year. So 2023, he played him in the playoffs. 2024, he played him week one. Matthew Stafford's gone for over 300 yards in both of those games. He also played them the first time. That one was in LA. The last two have been in Detroit. He has gone for 334 yards, 367 yards, and 317 yards against his former team, the Detroit Lions, when he plays them. And that's when he's going up against a secondary that is in good shape, one of which made the playoff run and was knocked out by the Washington Commanders, obviously, and then week one of last year. This year, this secondary has massive cluster injuries, and then they just lost probably like that Band-Aid. You know, when you cut yourself, you're on the go, and you have like one Band-Aid. Oh my gosh, at least I have this because I'll be in okay shape here. They lost that in Brian Branch, who covered up a lot of things, who could be moved around, do a lot of things. Tore Achilles last week. He is now gone. I think Sean McVay has a lot of opportunities to just pick at different wounds, to open up different things in that secondary, and to take advantage of that defense. They get Tutu Atwell back this week. Puka Nacua is healthy after being injured for a little while during the middle part of the season. And this Rams offense is firing on all cylinders. And Matthew Stafford has massive splits outside versus inside. Outside this year, he's averaging 230 yards per game. Inside this year, 274 yards per game. Obviously, he's inside in LA. I think he's able to go over this number of 277.5, as he's done in every single one of the games that he has played the Detroit Lions since returning, since moving to the LA Rams. And look, I laddered this as well. I think there's upside there. And then if you're looking to back on that thought process, then you might want to bring some receivers along with you. And so I ran it back a little bit with Puka Nacua, longest reception over. He's had a longest reception of over 30 plus in three straight games. So he was in the upper 20s. I went ahead and brought him along with me for the ride.
Yeah, great point on Brian Branch, too, because he got hurt right there at the end of the Dallas game. He's a green dot, right? So he was that communication guy. Yep. You lose that. And I know Aiden Hutchinson, people think he's their most indispensable defender. I think it might be Brian Branch. Great point there.
Well, one quick thing on that pressure. The Lions are getting destroyed down the field because they are allowing opposing quarterbacks over 3 seconds average time to throw, which is the longest in the NFL. Their time to pressure is way too long. And as a result, quarterbacks are averaging the highest ADOT against this Detroit Lions defense of anybody. So they have time. With that time, they're pushing the ball down the field. That's where all the yardage is coming from against this Detroit Lions secondary.
And I think because of that, too, you're seeing that total get up there to 55. I can understand that movement to the over. Let's get to another guy. We've been waiting for the Texans offense maybe to catch up. I don't know if they can catch up to their defense. That's how good that defense is. But you're looking at maybe their main target here at wide receiver to have a big day against the Cardinals. What do you like there?
Yeah, I'm leaning back into the home road splits angle here. And for CJ Stroud, these were a massive thing that we played on last year. Is CJ Stroud's splits and stats at home much better, on the road much worse? He's at home in this game against a defense, ironically enough, that Matthew Stafford just shredded last week. the Arizona Cardinals. And this is a defense that is extremely problematic. And you've got Nico Collins, his number one downfield threat. And I like Nico Collins over his longest reception. That is at 26.5. If you look at the numbers here over the last 2 years, he's gone over this number in 8 out of the 10 home games that he has played, whereas on the road, he's only gone over 8 out of 14 road games. He's much more effective at home. And against this secondary, he's going to have a lot of opportunities. Now, if another prop that I sort of am angling towards, if we see Nick Chubb get ruled out of this game, then I do think you've got upside for Woody Marks rushing attempts here. Now, this number's not lined, obviously, because we don't know about Nick Chubb. But I will be curious to see what the odds makers set that at, because I might be looking towards the over there. That does not dissuade me, however, from believing that we could have some explosive targets down the field early in this game to try to get that score margin so that the Houston Texans defense can basically run away with it. And you're absolutely right. No chance that we're going to see this Texans offense catch up with their defense. This defense is just simply remarkable. But we will be able to get Nico Collins to have one long reception of probably at least 30 yards on Sunday afternoon.
Great stuff. Warren, last 30 seconds with you, buddy. Let's squeeze in Bills and Patriots, because that is so much implication, not only on the AFC East, but the AFC playoff picture as well.
Dalton Kincaid is back for the Buffalo Bills, and the New England Patriots gave up 100 yards to him last game out. I angled for the longest reception once again for Dalton Kincaid. I like this market this week. I think there's opportunity here. Check the weather. I will say check the weather. Obviously, we don't know what it's going to be by game time, but as of right now, it looks like there's opportunity for the Buffalo Bills in both of these passing attacks to still have some success. Light snow earlier in the day, cold temps, but not like Chicago, not like Cincinnati, and not too much wind. So if all of that holds true, I like the Dalton Kincaid longest reception over. But once again, you know, you could always bet it now if you want and come back and be willing to bet the other side based upon current weather at the moment of the game. That's what we had to do last week on some props, and something we'll probably have to do moving forward, because weather is definitely a factor this season and at this time of year.
Warren, it's a great Christmas deal that you got right now. When you go to sharp.football, click on the top link, use the code FINAL4 on the rest of the season package. Join today. It's a 75% discount. Very kind of you, sir. And we'll catch up again next week as we get to week number 16 in the NFL. When we come back here, who's going to find the pay dirt? We'll get to our red alert. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. Enjoyed the conversation with Warren Sharp in the last segment. Again, he's going to be on our pregame shows on Sunday to help you make those best prop bets. And again, check the weather, as Warren pointed out here, because some of that weather will be changing before you get to kickoff. And we know if it's light snow and there's no wind, maybe a snowover. If you start to get that different imbalance there in the weather, you might want to look to an underplay. When you think Army-Navy, I do think under traditionally. Let's talk about some of these bowl games and, of course, that big standalone game on Saturday between the Midshipmen and the Black Knights. And, Jensen, as you know by now, it's the one time a year we Marines get to root for the Navy.
And that is the one time that you look and see, all right, is this the auto bet under? Because that's kind of where everything is gone and traditionally in this rivalry. So we look at where, and listen, Navy has had an amazing season. It's going to be in Baltimore, obviously M&T Bank Stadium there. You're thinking of the conditions there. It's a pro field. So obviously that is going to help both run games. What I'm fascinated to look at is this total is a bit high, I think, we think, looking around, like 38 and a half. I lean the under, but I also kind of like your Midshipmen, man. I kind of like them to cover the six, and that feels like a pretty large spread considering what traditionally both these teams are head-to-head.
May I call you John? No, you may not. Did I do something to offend you? No, we like all you Navy boys. Every time we're going to go fight, you always give us a ride. few good men. Marines, Navy. That's our relationship in a nutshell. Yeah, I'm with you. I'd like to be able to lay the six. It does feel a little bit high, but you would hope here in this neutral at M&T that they'd be able to get that job done. And again, the cursory look says under, but boy, that does feel sneaky when it's set that high, because normally, traditionally, it's set around 35, 34s. We've seen 33s in the past. So to see that up as high as 38, boy, that is does seem like a flag to me, maybe a little caution, to take caution in our tone there. Boise State and Washington, what do you have here in the L.A. Bowl?
Yeah, this number has moved a little bit. It has gotten up to 10, and I believe it opened around 8.5. This is the Bucked Up L.A. Bowl that Boise State, Washington from SoFi Stadium there. So they'll play the bowl game that afternoon or that evening, and then also that next day we get Lions and Rams. So I lean Washington here. No official play in pocket yet, but I think I'm probably going to get there. And Dave, I was even looking at maybe a potential alternate spread of maybe a minus 13.5, minus 15.5. I think Washington can really in the second half with that dynamic run game. And also Damon Williams, their quarterback, has been a joy to watch, a dual threat guy. Just don't know if Boise State has enough offensively to get there. If you are looking to the total, very much like the over 53, I think Washington takes care of the bulk of that scoring, maybe a team total over 34.5. So Huskies all day in a pseudo home game there. They're the closest outside of where Boise is as well. So going to be a fun way to kick it off. Although I'll throw it back to you. I'm so used to not having a bowl game on Army Navy Day.
Yeah.
And it's going to be right at the same time that the Heisman is getting announced as well. It's kind of a weird scheduling quirk here as well.
Yeah, I'm not used to it. I had to do a double take on that. Like, wait, I thought it was the standalone Army-Navy, then we get the Heisman, and that's kind of the way that traditionally goes. And I had to also put the glasses on to make sure that's the Bucked Up L.A. Bowl. You want to make sure you don't screw that one up, kids. The Bucked Up L.A. Bowl. South Carolina State's going to take on Prairie View A&M. This is in the Cricket Celebration Bowl down there in the ATL. Any leans before we get to that one as well?
Pretty much everybody and their brother is on Prairie View. 67% of the bets, Dave, 99% of the handle on the plus 1.5 there. Total is getting nothing but over money as well. 75% of the bets, 99% of the handle over 51.5. This is one of those, if you like it, good luck. No real handicap outside of this would be a pure numbers play if you get on it. So anxious to see kind of where that number ends up falling if we get a flip of favorites whatsoever.
Bowl season is officially upon us a little bit earlier than what we are accustomed to. By the way, if you missed it the first time, we got really good news. We're giving you one last shot to score an unforgettable Vegas weekend at Circa Resort and Casino. Right now, the first 100 new VSiN Pro annual subscribers who sign up using the promo code CIRCA will receive a free 3-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino January 2nd through the 5th, plus a daybed at Stadium Swim during the final weekend of the NFL regular season. You're also going to save 50% off the monthly price and get a full year of VSiN Pro, daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, every betting guide from the college football playoff betting guide that's out now through next year's NFL. This is your last shot at the Circa Getaway, so do not wait. Lock in your spot now at VSiN.com/Circa. Use the promo code CIRCA. That's VSIN.com/CIRCA. All right, who's going to hit pay dirt, Jensen Lewis? Let's figure it out in today's edition of the Red Alert.
Two captains, one mission, anytime touchdowns. Welcome to Red Alert.
Captain, do you lower the torpedoes? I'm not sure. I was never good at Navy on Navy vessels. What do we do to get that fire out of the hull here? Who's going to hit red alert and hit some pay dirt?
Yeah, we always look towards Bengals home games, right? And it traditionally has been a boatload of points here. Do we expect that again? Yeah, potentially it could be there. So let's go to some usual suspects. Ja'Marr Chase. If indeed this is the swan song for he and Joe Burrow as members and teammates of the Cincinnati Bengals, I think they have a great opportunity to hook up there for touchdowns as well. Mark Andrews, boy, he's come alive here, gets the extension, gets engaged, and he's on house money. Why not? Mark Andrews into the end zone. They've been going back to a lot of the two tight end sets, right? You get Andrews on one side, you get Isaiah Likely on the other. I think that's a great little two-leg parlay, Dave, there for an anytime touchdown, just a bit south of 3-1 there on DraftKings.
It would be kind of bizarre to think about what you just said there, very casually, by the way, that this could be the last time you see Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow as teammates. Something that's crazy to think about, but when you hear the kind of the, as we were kidding, the emo Joe comments earlier in the program, wherever you get your podcast, go back, take a listen, that if they were to lose, they would be mathematically eliminated. They're still alive right now to win this division. And then you wonder, would you keep playing Joe Burrow if there's nothing to play for at this point of the season? And then you do have to start, dare I say, think about retirement. We saw this from Andrew Luck. It shocked the world. Everybody was shocked in Indianapolis and the NFL. It would shock the world if Joe Burrow said he's done. And we're not saying he's done. But you do have to start to read into those comments a little bit. And if he wanted out of Cincinnati, I don't know why he would with the weapons they've put around him there. It just sounds like the body is starting to break down a little bit. And that's why it could be one of those last hurrah games. I'm with you. I like that duo to get it done against the boys from Charm City. Seattle. Look, I'm rooting for it. I know, you know, I'm a big Seattle guy this year, but I'm still rooting for Phillip Rivers if he does, in fact, get the start on Sunday. And by the way, everything is still pointing in that direction that it looks like it would be Phil the Thrill, number 17, back out there for the Colts this weekend after a 5-year layoff. But you're looking the other side. Get away from the noise of Phillip Rivers and stick to what makes you some money.
Yeah, let's go back to that Seattle offense. And in December, this has been not only a covering machine, but an absolute juggernaut as far as straight up is concerned. And so we go to a couple of the key cogs offensively there for Sam Darnold, handing it off to Kenneth Walker III. Feels like easy money there. A couple opportunities against a Colts defense that's been reeling against the run game. And then potential offensive player of the year in Jackson Smith and Jigba. Just a historic start to his campaign. Got right back on the good side of things last week in a blowout against the Falcons. So I think Seattle's offense rolls in a big way. And I think also, Dave, you don't want the Colts hanging around whatsoever. So I fully expect that, Coach McDonald and company are going to say, forget it. Just absolutely leave no stone unturned. Do not allow them to hang around in this game.
Oh, they'd love nothing more than to pull those starters in the third quarter if they could, because they got a big one coming up Thursday night against the Rams here in less than a week right now. So that's the bigger fodder out there and fish to fry. How about a couple quarterbacks that you think might find the end zone at a really nicey price, juicy price point?
You just think about game script, right? And Patriots and Bills, tush-push opportunity there at the goal line, or just Josh Allen in the red zone. It just will probably take matters into his own hands more often than not. And in a must-win scenario for them, if they want any designs on the AFC East, Josh Allen feels like a great play. Let's parlay him with maybe an off-the-radar game offensively, but for Jackson Dart and company, this could be one of those opportunities against the Commanders. Boy, you and I could have scored on them here the last couple of weeks, so why not? Let's take a little shot. Two guys that love to use their legs, especially near the goal line. Josh Allen, Jackson Dart, just a bit south of 4-1 on the anytime touchdown parlay.
Jackson, don't run. Jackson runs. I mean, he's going to run. That's what he does, right? They try to coach it out of him. If you're Mike Kafka, good luck with that. We know Josh Allen in the bigger games. He's been saving his legs more this year, but when you get down there in the red zone, certainly red alert time there for those two quarterbacks. Okay, when we come back, let's get to the Daily Gridiron. We're going to bet the build as well for what you like out there from our friends at FanDuel and at DraftKings. That is next right here on VSiN by the Book.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We're going to have Nick Whalen join us in the very next hour. Cannot wait to get Nick's thoughts on Week 15 as we continue to break down this full slate of action, Jensen Lewis, and that's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
You You know, it was interesting. You're watching last night the Buccaneers in that collapse, and I am. I really do. I like Todd Bowles a lot. I think he does a good job as a head coach. I think he's done a really good job in the stead of Bruce Arians, who, of course, won the Super Bowl there with Tom Brady back in the day, decided to retire, and that's when he turned the regime over to Todd Bowles. He was on with Kay Adams, and this was on FanDuel TV. And Jensen, you saw this in some very interesting picks that Bruce Arians had for the Super Bowl. So it's here from the former Super Bowl champion head coach.
But I picked Denver to go to the Super Bowl, and right now I pick Seattle.
I was at a dinner last night talking about Seattle. They're the sneaky one. Why don't you, if you like them, that must mean that you don't believe this narrative that Sam can't win that big game, wherever it might be. Can you help me understand? There's a lot of data for those big games and Sam, not just like struggling, like the meltdown of Sam Darnold. What do you make of that?
That's a real thing until you win it. And like I said, if they get it home and win the first one, he's going to feel real more comfortable in the second one.
Huh.
And once he gets comfortable, watch out. And with JSN and everybody's got out there and that defense, that the 12 is real. That's a great place to go play.
It really is. Spoken like a great Hokie there in Bruce Arians, Virginia Tech days. Again, this is a football team you and I have talked a lot about in the summer leading into the season and all those things. And I mentioned this summer to you, Jensen, that I thought you would get the better part of the 16 games of Sam Darnold last year in Minnesota versus what we saw in the last two. But that does get to Bruce's point that it did carry over that terrible final game in the regular season against the Lions a year ago with the Vikings. Did carry over to that wild card matchup, and he didn't play well against the Rams. So it does, it has that steam, that kind of snowball effect there. So could be positive and it could be negative. Is that what you took from Bruce Arians when it comes to Sam Darnold?
I took a seamless segue, Dave, because great minds think alike. Bruce Arians, a big fan of our show, as well as Kay Adams, also a great friend and colleague of the show, Randy Moss, one of his iconic phrases, straight cash, homie. And that parlays right with where Bruce is going. The two teams that I have been looking at as far as some of the trends here as we get into December. How about those Denver Broncos? When they're a home underdog, which they are against the Packers, after a division game, which they just played, and looking at an AFC opponent, I know the Packers aren't there, but just something to think about trends moving forward here. 19-2 against the number, 16-6 straight up. How about those Seahawks? They're a juggernaut in December. Total between 41.5 and 44. Coming off a road win, which a decimation of Atlanta. Is that good? 10-1 against the number, 10-1 straight up. Seattle, going to be a play for us in millions this week, laying the 13.5. I told you about the Jaguars. They were one of my leans in millions just yesterday. I think they're finally getting to where Liam Cohen wants them offensively. Home team in December, again, weeks 12 through 16, coming off that big-time win now against the Indianapolis Colts, an AFC South opponent. They have continued to have the pedal to the metal, Dave, 9-2 to the over. I told you I thought they matched up against, you know, where this could be in December. They've got a great opportunity to keep that offense humming. I really like them to score a lot of points. So that's a great over trend as they will entertain the New York Jets there. They're going to have to probably do most of the heavy lifting, but I just thought that was fascinating to throw in there as well.
Yeah, and again, with Arians picking the Broncos and the Seahawks for his Super Bowl, I mean, so he's convinced that Sam Darnold can get over that hump that we talked about here, and that would be a rematch. Boy, I remember that one very well in the Meadowlands, and that was the old Peyton Manning, the first play, snap over his head, and it was all Seattle as that defense rolled that day against that high-powered Bronco offense. That'd be an interesting rematch if we get there. Is this a little Star Wars homage that you have here for the second part of our daily gridiron?
Stay on target. A New Hope. Star Wars, A New Hope. The story that started the saga that has touched everyone on this planet and then some. In a galaxy far, far away, Dave, is there a way that this couple parlay idea hits for us? Let me start with one that might be a little hold your nose. Commanders plus $1.20 at the Giants. Saints plus $1.24. Head of steam coming in against now the first place Carolina Panthers. Can I interest you in a moneyline parlay there? Almost at 4-1. Or season on the line narrative. Bengals got to win to stay in, plus $1.24 against the Ravens. Lions saved their season just a week ago on Thursday Night Football against the Cowboys. They got to keep it going. Can they make life tough for Matthew Stafford and company again? Plus $1.95. That one I kind of like. Plus $5.60. Of those two, which one blows up the Death Star?
You know, I do like the Commanders this week with Mariota back in there. Jaden Daniels is going to be out. We'll see if he's back next week for the Eagles or not, for Commander's sake. But I do think with the play that Mariota was showing, the way he was playing there, even in that game against the Broncos, I thought he was playing pretty well until Jaden Daniels is healthy. But I do like the second one. And, you know, we talked about it with Warren Sharp. Wherever you get your podcast, go back to listen to Warren. And he mentioned how Kirk Cousins just matches up so well with the Buccaneers historically. I just think Joe Burrow, he's going to be a really tough out for this Ravens defense again. He seems to know exactly how to play this Ravens defense. Win or lose, he normally puts up really good numbers. And they slapped them around pretty good in Charm City on Thanksgiving night. That was not a fluke at all. So I kind of like that second one. You know how I feel about the Lions. I'll take the Lions plus six. I think they're live to win this game outright against any team in the National Football League. That's, to me, that's way too many points to be laying against the Detroit Lions. Let's bet that build here. And what do you have with our friends at FanDuel and at DraftKings?
Well, that Lions and Rams game, it may not have much defense. And so that got me to Matthew Stafford in our FanDuel build. Really like where he's at. Remember, the Rams now fully healthy on the wide receiver side too. So Stafford, a full complement of weapons. Christian McCaffrey in a smash spot there. Woody Marks as well in the Texans backfield against a very banged up Arizona Cardinal front. Jamar Chase, Jameson Williams, I mentioned on the comeback there with Stafford. Jameson Williams, if the Lions are behind, they're going to probably be airing it out there. So I like him for a couple of big chunk plays. Wandale Robinson has actually been a nice target for Jackson Dart. So a good little cost saver there. Mark Andrews talked about him in Red Alert, like him back in there as well, and also Kenneth Walker, the third. And I took a shot on the Giants, a little bit of a cost saver here to finish out the FanDuel lineup. So that one I kind of like. DraftKings, we changed it up just a tad. And I went with Jackson Dart, and we mentioned him for Red Alert and also an anytime touchdown. I kept the running backs the same with McCaffrey and Marks. And then I switched it up, getting Jaxon Smith-Njigba in there, as we mentioned, also live for an anytime touchdown. Jamar Chase stays. How about A.D. Mitchell in that Jets and that Jags game? Regardless of who's playing quarterback, I don't see them having a lead, if at all, in that game. Theo Johnson, great target there for Jackson Dart, tight end room. Hopefully he's healthy. Make sure to check the inactives. I know he's had an injury designation there. A.J. Barner, tight end there in Seattle, too. If it's not the main targets, then he's been a guy in the red zone. And then, hey, I know, it's the Raiders. But, hey, it's the Eagles' offense. Who knows? Maybe you get a couple of turnovers again from Jalen Hurts. And that minimum pay there at $2,000 pays off.
Just go back to the trade deadline when the Colts traded for Sauce Gardner and they sent two first-round picks, 26 and 27, and A.D. Mitchell, who's in your lineup, to the Jets. And, like, look, you can't predict injuries, but Jensen, does it look like the Jets just absolutely fleeced the Colts at this juncture?
I mean, early, right?
We wouldn't make that statement. Right.
Yeah, we say this in baseball a lot, where you can't truly evaluate the trades until probably the year four mark. Now, maybe you take a year off that in football, just knowing that the draft is so much more impactful, very much present day, and in the immediacy of who you get than it is in baseball. But yeah, right now... And knowing the Jets have a lot of things that they've got to do to try and rebuild offensively and defensively, it's certainly going to help them knowing where they're going to eventually pick in 2026.
Two first rounders. Could you please not hurt yourself? Like that's the thing. Like, you know, and you're thinking you're going all in. If you're Chris Ballard, you're making this aggressive move, right? Shane Steichen. And now you're going to Phillip Rivers. I mean, it's amazing what's happened in a short month in Indianapolis. And look, it kind of sucks to see because it was a great feel-good story with Daniel Jones, and then you make the moves here to really fortify that defense, and none of it looks like it's working out right now. And by the way, when you do the stay on target, I think of James Earl Jones. Stay on the others. I'm on the leader. That's my bad James Earl Jones, Darth Vader impression. When we come back, we're going to have Nick Whalen join us here. We'll get to Nick's thoughts here on Week 15 and start breaking down the slate. Is it the last chance to dance for the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll begin that conversation with the Chargers next here on VSiN by the Books.